Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. Hey, welcome back, In Hope Podcast. Today, I just wanted to have a quick conversation with you about strange opportunity. It's not really that strange, but strange opportunity to see dynamics of unity and division. There is something that just happened recently, and this could be a touchy thing, so don't jump to conclusions when I bring this up, but I feel like there's some principles that we can pull from this, or some thoughts that should cause us to reflect, right? There it's an opportunity to reflect and consider how unity is practiced within our own lives, within our own organizations. And the thing that I'm talking about is there is this recent address to Congress by current President Trump. And I've heard some commentary on it. And something that stands out to me the most right now is how some of this commentary is looking at the reactions of both sides of the aisles at certain points throughout his speech, throughout his address to Congress, and the things that were happening there. And so I want us to just kind of use that as an example, something to reflect on. In no way am I trying to promote, you know, one ideology or side of the aisle over the other, but I feel like this is something that we have seen consistently. We've seen throughout history and recent decades within America. Is I remember looking so often at highlights, clips of speeches that are happening in Congress or whatnot, and it's usually in Congress where you see this the most. Is there's one side clapping and the other side completely still. One side standing up and cheering and the other side giving no emotion whatsoever. And you see this time and time and time again. And this isn't just a recent thing. This is over the past couple of decades, we've been seeing this. But I feel like there's a lot of commentary over what just happened recently because of some of the things that were said and some of the responses to some of the things that were said. And, you know, Trump's always good for stirring up some conversation and some strife when it comes to politics. So looking at that, there's something that I always tell people, and when it comes to the divisiveness of U.S. politics, and first and foremost, I always say, hey, I feel like everybody needs to read George Washington's farewell address, the full farewell address of George Washington, first president of the United States. He comes and he makes this great speech. If you've watched Hamilton, then you know, he had a little help, but he makes this great speech and he's giving America some pointers moving forward on things to avoid, things to look out for, things to keep in mind. And one of the things that he talks about is this idea of partisanship and the division that can come from that. And I feel like when you look at that recent address to Congress, from what I've heard, there are a few moments in there where anyone and everyone should have been able to say, we can get behind that. That's true. Yet, at those moments, you still have this firm divide in the audience where only one side will choose to clap and the other side will not. And the reason I point that out is, again, not to point fingers at one party or the other. There is somebody, and I mean, everyone's going to have different polls. I know one poll mentioned that one poll that I heard was saying how over 70% of people watching it felt like it was good. Now, I don't know how many of those, that 70%, right? If it was 7 Republicans and 3 Democrats or what, you know, what have you. But it's interesting because when you look in at Congress, when you look at that address, it's almost like that 50-50 split that's happening where one side saying, nope, we're not going to clap, and the other side will. And the reason I bring that up is because of the fact that there are some things that we should all be able to get behind, some things that we should all be able to support, some things that we should all be able to applaud, right? And apparently some of these things were present in that speech, yet that firm divide stood. And the reason I bring that up is because we see it, this is a good example of it within Congress, but we see that within our lives. We see that within our churches. We see that within our organizations. We see that within the church. We see that. We see sometimes that there are things that we should be able to get behind. We should be able to applaud. We should be able to all rally around and say, yes, that's true. But there's a hesitation. There's a hesitation to cross over and to come into agreement because our identities can be fixed on being different from one another rather than being joined to Christ. And one of the biggest things that I feel like comes to mind when these things happen is, and this may be one of the biggest issues, one of the reasons why you have that firm divide there in Congress, is because we can say something and it sound good and it sound true, but the thought that's going through our heads is, okay, but what does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? What would it mean for me to go along with that, to agree with that? What image, what thought am I sending? What message am I sending if I applaud to this? And so I feel like that's a question that often will hinder us from coming to agreement, is that what does it mean? What do we mean by that? What message am I going to send, right? Because if somebody on the opposite side of the aisle, somebody in a different group, somebody that comes from a different viewpoint theologically, somebody who attends a different church, somebody who we've been in disagreement, maybe they're not on good terms with my friends, right? If somebody says something and we could think, okay, that sounds true, or that sounds good, I can agree with that, but then we're hindered by this thought of, okay, but what message am I going to send if I agree? I think that right there, that idea of what message am I going to send if I agree? What exactly do they mean by that? Let's get into the wickets, right? And hold back. That can hold us back from being able to find that place of common ground far too easily. It holds us back far too easily. Finding the common ground sometimes is easier than we think, but we are hesitant to step into it. And we allow this thought of, okay, but where will this go? What does this mean? Sometimes hold us back. And I wanted to, there's some things that came to mind when thinking about that. There's some words, some trigger words, I would say, that I've heard, especially within the body of Christ and within Christendom, within theological circles. So for example, the idea of sovereignty, right? And the sovereignty of God. A lot of different theological viewpoints will look at that differently. And depending on who's using that word, who's using the word sovereign, who's using the word, now we're hesitant to agree with it. But look, this is just a biblical fact that we should be able to get around, right? That we should be able to agree on, is God's sovereignty. Now, what exactly that means and where we go with it different in our different theological opinions, maybe we don't agree, but we can't allow those differences to keep us from the common ground of saying God is sovereign, God is in control, right? And same with things like unity, right? That we've talked about time and time again, that can end up, depending on who's saying it, depending on where that's coming from, we can start getting all these different images and thoughts as far as where that leads to and what that means. But we should be able to, again, look at the scriptures and say, okay, this is something that we are called to within scripture. This is something that should be a characteristic of the kingdom of God. We should be able to agree on that. And there are things, for example, with liturgy, tradition, right? Those can be some heavy words when it comes to church and theological circles, right? And what do we mean? What is attached to that? But we should be able to look at some of those things and say, you know, there is benefit to tradition. There is benefit to liturgy. Now, maybe depending on theological backgrounds and different things like that, we may be hesitant to go as far or go in the same direction as other people with that, but there's a reason why even within super contemporary and charismatic circles, you're going to find songs from modern day contemporary artists and gospel artists that are pulling lyrics from hymns and liturgy of the past, traditional lyrics, right? And so you're going to have these benefits that are coming, or you're going to have these areas of agreement, right? But a lot of times it's the what do they mean by that and the questioning of the others, you know, develop where they're going to take it. That's the concern. That's what holds us back from being able to step in and show agreement or voice agreement and give applause, you know, in the example that we brought up earlier, to things that we should be able to. We should be able to come around and rally around. And one of same thing with compassion ministries, outreach, right? So I know some people maybe think, what? That's an issue. That's an issue for some people. That's an issue. And the idea of compassion ministry and outreach and what that means and where that leads to, right? And so, but we should be able to say, okay, we serve a God of compassion. We serve a God who came to seek the lost, right? We serve a God who desires for us to be light in the world, to reach out to people. And so there's areas where it's like, yes, we can agree. But what do you mean by that? I'm not going to voice agreement. We're not going to find common ground because I don't know where you're going with it. Let's start at the common ground. Let's start with saying, yes, we can agree to that. So how do we practice it in agreement? How do we go about this in agreement? What do we mean? What do we think should come from that, right? And some of those things may differ, but then we at least have this common place of saying, yes, the body of Christ should be showing compassion. Yes, the body of Christ should be reaching out to people. Yes, the body of Christ can practice and value some of these traditions from our past together. Yes, the body of Christ can practice unity. We should desire to practice unity. Yes, we can submit to and say we believe our God is sovereign, right? And be able to worship that and show a love and an expression for that, despite those different theological opinions of where that may go, right? And so coming all the way back to our beginning example of what happened recently within the congressional address, I really do think that one of the biggest concerns is what will the message be? What will people say that I am agreeing to if I show agreement? If I give applause at this moment or that moment, right? If I give any type of positive acknowledgement and common ground, what will that mean? And I want that to be something that we're encouraged to know when we share an agreement, when we share if we were to applause, right? Somebody on or something said from the, because we don't want to, if we were to applaud something said from the opposite aisle, from a different group, from the people that we're in disagreement with or our friends are in disagreement with, whatever it may be, if we were to show agreement, know that that is not the end all be all. That is not the final word, right? That you don't get to assume and carry forward and make assumption there on out on everything that someone is going to believe or think because of where they did and did not applaud, because of the things that they did or did not say they can come into common ground on or that they can agree with, right? Because we can see, even as we're talking about these different things, agreement on these different things that are said doesn't mean there's always agreement on exactly what that means moving forward, how do we respond, and all the different routes that that can take. The goal is that we can't have a conversation, we can't really learn about one another, we can't move forward in unity until we have a place of common ground. And so we need to be able to push past these barriers and these concerns to get into a place of common ground, knowing that stepping into that common ground doesn't automatically mean you're going to be forced down someone else's path from that place of agreement. It's like if you were walking on a road, or better yet, it's like saying that there is a lake, right? Let's imagine this beautiful lake, and there are 5 different outlets from this lake from which the water can flow, right? And the water can move out in 5 different directions from that lake. We should be able to find agreement and say, we're going to get in the lake together and we can talk some things out here and maybe chart a new path or find which path is the best way to move forward from here. But knowing that just by saying we agree to be in this lake, we agree to be in this place of saying this is a good thing, of saying this person should be honored, of saying this place, this is a practice that the church should be involved in, that this is something that is characteristic of God, or this is something we should be able to find that place of agreement in that lake, right? Of God being sovereign, of the church practicing, should being able to display and practice unity. We should be able to find that place of common ground in the lake and saying that, yes, the body of Christ should show compassion, right? That we should be reaching out to people. We should be able to find that common place, that lake, and get in that lake together without the fear that that means we're automatically going to be forced into this outlet or that outlet from the lake, right? And that's usually the concern. Well, if I get in that lake, people are going to think I'm going down that outlet, that's where all my conclusions are going to go. But you are not going to be automatically, when you're dropped into the middle of the lake, it does not mean that you are already in that outlet, right? And that you're not going to get to say anything else and have no other word. And people from there on out will assume you're in that outlet. We live in a society today where people are able to voice their opinion and put things out there a lot more than what is necessary. A lot more than times in the past. Like if you have something to clarify and you have something to be said, it is very hard to silence people nowadays because there's so many different ways that for them to get that out there, right? And if you let that concern of what message will this send by getting into this lake, this place of unity, this finding this common ground and saying there is common ground here. If you're so concerned about what message that will send, then what you're saying is that I'm not going to have an opportunity at all. At no time in the future will I be able to clarify or voice more my opinion on what it means for God to be sovereign, what it means for the church to be in unity, what it means to show compassion to the world, right? And you can think of so many other things, and I'm sure there's some things in your mind right now that I'm not thinking of, and I don't need to think of all of them, right? You have some things, you know, there's some things where it's like, okay, this word, this topic, this action, we have a really hard time coming into agreement around this or being able to say, yes, we have this in common because we know we go in different directions from there. But I want to encourage us to say, no, let's say we have this agreement. We have this in common, because that is a better place to start and striving for collaboration and striving for unity than trying to oppose and show no agreement whatsoever. And the more that we dig our heels in and we say we're not going to show agreement whatsoever, now we start setting ourselves up to look like we're in opposition to things we should be in agreement for. Like we're in opposition towards the body of Christ being compassionate when we should be in agreement for it. Like we're in opposition of saying how powerful and great and sovereign our God is when we should be in agreement for it. Like we're in opposition to Jesus' very own prayer that those who follow him would be one, right? When we should be in agreement for it. And we can end up finding ourselves and disagreement and refusing to step into that lake because we are so dug in and adamant about which outlet we're taking. Think about that, because we're thinking we're so far down and so committed to that outlet from the lake, we will refuse to jump in and be in agreement in the lake on that main principle that we should all be able to agree on. And we start finding ourselves pushing back against it and being in opposition against it. And that's something that I want to encourage us to just be mindful of. Where can we find the agreement? And don't be afraid to voice and to show agreement, knowing that there will be time, there will be opportunity, that should actually open up conversation to where we can start talking more about where do we go from here? What are our thoughts leading from here? But we have to get to that place of, no, okay, we can agree this is good. We can agree that this deserves honor, that this deserves our attention, that this deserves our time and our practice. If we can agree on those things, we may not agree on how much, right? That's talking different outlets. But if we can at least just agree, then we can start talking about how much. Because if we just start saying, no, we don't agree, now it's not about how much, but it's all or nothing. And that's not where we want to be. Let's get into a place of we're in the lake together. We can agree on these things. And from there, we can have our disagreements and our talks. Because that's really what it comes back to. If we're going to find unity with one another, whether it's people within your household, whether it's people within your organization, people within your ministries, people within your church, other ministries and other believers in your community, around the world, if we are going to find and practice unity, then what it really takes, what it comes back to, is us having conversation, us having relationship and being able to talk without being enemies, without being in opposition, but saying, hey, let's talk about this. Let's share our different viewpoints. Let's remember this is where we agree, right? And let's learn. Let's learn how you practice it and how I practice it and how they practice it. And what can we learn from each other? Because maybe you're getting something I'm not. Maybe I have something you don't have. But we can all agree it's coming from this place or this desire or this aim, right? That is how we are going to grow stronger in unity with one another, is actually hearing, listening, understanding, sharing with one another out of love, out of a place of truth and love, right? And you can even say truth, opinion, and love, right? But we need to recognize where it's truth and where it's opinion. And it's those truths like, hey, we should be sharing compassion. We should be showing compassion. Opinion is how much and how we practice it and the best way to do it, right? But all of it should be from a place of love. From a place of love, understanding, of honor and reverence towards God. So that, like I said, today it was going to be a quick one, but I felt like we needed to take a moment and pause, because we can look at, for example, what happened with that opening example with the congressional address. Maybe you haven't seen it. You can go back, look at it a little bit. It's good for you to be, you know, caught up on your history or whatnot. But if you if you have seen any of those, then you know what I'm talking about, where it's like somebody says something and half the room stands up and applauds and the other side's like crickets. They're not moving, right? But you can get that visual. And I think we can sometimes be in that same exact spot, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to make sure we're not falling prey to staying silent and not voicing common ground, not being able to agree on some good things, things that we should be able to agree on, and we stay silent and we look like we're in opposition to it when really, we're just concerned about, okay, what do they mean by it? Let's find the common ground. And then maybe that'll give us an opportunity to not only learn what they mean, but also to share what we mean by it. All right. So think about that. You can take, like I said, you can take a look at, I am more importantly, I would say again, I would encourage everyone, go read George Washington's farewell address. That is a piece of American history I feel like we should be reading in schools across the U.S. And that, the Constitution, right, the Declaration of Independence. I would even say the Articles of Federation and or the Federalist Papers, my bad, the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, those types of things that really help shape and form the country, we really should look at. And George Washington's farewell address, I feel like, man, that's a big one. That's towards the top of the list, right after Declaration and the Constitution, right there. And when I say Constitution, I'm including the Bill of Rights and all that good stuff, all right, the amendments and whatnot. But take a look at that. You can visualize or take a look back at the speech and maybe take a moment to be like, okay, I can agree with this. I can understand why they didn't stand up, because they thought it could have communicated this or that. But it's good to notice this, because we can a lot of times find ourselves doing similar things. And we need to, again, not be afraid to jump into that lake of common ground. Jump into that lake of common ground, all right? And that is going to help all of us so much more to be able to find collaboration, to find unity, right? Not uniformity, but unity, and practicing collaboration with one another and learning about one another and growing and stretching ourselves, all right? That's that. We're down for time today. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode, and we will be back next week for the In Hope Podcast. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.